Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
I feel like I'm really loud.
Am I really loud? I don't know if it's loud.
Oh, I don't know. Ooh.
That's loud.
That's loud.
That's stupid loud.
Hey, now. How are you, Eddie?
Good.
Wake up, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
It's very echoey.
I feel like I'm in a well. Maybe bring down some of the faders a little bit. Oh, that's so much better.
Is that better?
Oh, my God. That's night and day.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah. See, I'm teaching you sound mixing. You should do it for the other ones. Oh, yeah, Eddie. Oh, yeah. Ooh, a little to the left. No, I'm just
so
kidding.
Much better.
How was your week, man?
It's good. It's dealing with all the fires.
I know. It's fire season, which sucks in California. That's what we have to deal with.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Do you have ash on your car?
We had a little bit.
I was a car...
We only had one. Yeah, we had one ash and one. Was it that fire that was yesterday over the hill? Did you see that?
No,
I don't know where that was.
What was that?
I don't know. It looked like North Hollywood, but I don't
know. Now, you know what? I always wonder this. Like, how do these fires start?
I don't know. I don't know. How they said they're still investigating the Sand Canyon fire.
I have a feeling an ex-fireman started that fire.
Why?
What's your conspiracy theory? Well, because there's actually a psychological effect that firemen have. Not all of them. That some firemen, because they deal with so much anxiety or dramatic affairs just putting out a fire,
mm-hmm.
that they actually become arsonists. Isn't that crazy?
But why would he start that? Why do you think he started that particular fire?
I just feel like any of the big fires, there's more logic than just like a campfire ember just started that entire fire the way it did. I think it's strategic in some ways. I don't know. I'm kind of like a conspiracy theorist when it comes to that. Because it's just so weird. I mean, I know the vegetation is dry.
It's super dry.
It's super dry. But how the hell are all these fires happening all at once?
It's just, I don't know. I don't know how they start. I don't know if ex-firemen
are going
to... Haven't
you seen Backdraft? That was when it introduced me.
Yeah,
like,
but I'm not going to base my...
Well, I know, but I mean, but I never even thought that was a thing. And then I actually checked it out. It is a thing. It's a thing.
I'm sure.
Like, say, let's say a fireman has lost
his
like,
screwed up
friends.
Job.
Yeah, it's a totally... It's a very... I mean, I don't know anything about fires.
So.
Or, you know, I can't really talk on like what it feels like to go through.
You don't want to rip on any more firemen.
No. I love firemen. They're the best. I think they're the best. But I'm just saying,
they just start fires.
Not all of them, but the majority of arsonists.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't say the majority.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that.
Okay.
A good healthy percentage of arsonists
mm-hmm.
have been known to be ex-firemen, which is really weird.
Do you have numbers to back this up?
I don't have numbers, but it's on the internet.
It's true. It's definitely true.
No, I swear to God.
It's on the internet. It's definitely true.
Well, I don't know. If it's definitely true, but...
That's how Trump gets his information.
Wait, but doesn't it make sense? If you have to put out a fire for your career, and let's say you lose people, it's going to mess with you. It's going to mess with you.
There's probably some mental... issues that arise from that line of work that I'm sure that some people experience, but I wouldn't say that a majority of arsonists are ex-firemen.
So what would you say?
I don't know. I don't have any numbers to back up any of this. This is the first I've heard of this.
I want to know.
But I wouldn't throw out a blanket statement saying firemen cause all the fires.
Well, I don't think firemen cause all fires. I'm just saying I have a feeling arsonists cause some of the biggest fires that we have. Because it's crazy to think a cigarette or...
Yeah, but sometimes I could see where someone's just burning something because they just want to see something burn, but I don't think they intend for it to get that out of hand.
Yeah, well,
they're like, oh shit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. That Santa Clarita fire, it's what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, but like, once the wind gets hold of that stuff and it's so dry.
I know, but see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's strategic locations. I can't just think that a campfire or somebody just wanting to burn a piece of trash turned into that. It can happen, but I mean,
well, the Grand Canyon is created by little drops of water.
Yeah, but over thousands and thousands of years.
I don't know.
We are losing listeners by the second.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What else did you do this week? Did you watch any movies?
I saw Star Trek.
How was that?
Blech.
Really? Boo. I heard, actually.
Boo.
Because J.J. Abrams is not involved. Everybody says it sucks.
No, because I wasn't a big fan of Into Darkness.
I like that one.
I wasn't a big fan. I like the first one.
I like both.
I like the first one he did. The second one I wasn't a big fan of.
Okay.
And this one was just boo.
Let's talk Ghostbusters just a little bit. Because we talked a little bit last week.
We ripped enough on Ghostbusters last week.
No, but we didn't say it on the air. You know
what I'm saying? Why are we? I don't want the.
What, you afraid it's going to come back to us?
No, I'm not. Right, I just wasn't a fan of the movie.
I wasn't either, and I was hoping that there would be.
I had no expectations going in, because I did. Like, I liked Ghostbusters as a kid, but it wasn't my favorite film.
Oh my God, I loved that movie.
I wasn't
the. Rick Moranis?
Yeah, but it wasn't like. If I had to think of like the top four movies of my childhood, Ghostbusters isn't in it.
Wow. Okay, so what are they?
I don't. Probably all three Star Wars
films.
No.
Let's talk comedies. Let's just talk 80s comedies.
Oh, Caddyshack.
Okay. That's kind of 70s, though, isn't it?
Bachelor. I saw it in the 80s.
Okay, but in the 80s.
Bachelor Party.
Okay, that's a great one.
Tom Hanks and Big. There's tons of other. Like, Ghostbusters was like, it was okay. I mean, like,
I
wasn't one of my favorite movies.
Ghostbusters would definitely be my top 10. I don't know if it'd be my top five.
I liked more.
I love Police Academy. Yeah, I don't know. It depends.
Police Academy was funnier than Ghostbusters. The first one.
Well, I don't know.
Head stuck in a horse's ass.
Well, that's great. That's great. But what about that line?
And his hair's all
Bill Murray back. Comes in and like he's talking to Sigourney Weaver and she's like, "Are you still?"
No, there's
like,
funny moments.
What a lovely singing voice.
There's funny moments, but I'm just like, I'm not that guy that was like in love with Ghostbusters. Okay. So I had no expectations going into this.
So
one.
When
I didn't care that it was all female cast either. Like I didn't.
I was hoping that because Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy were in it, it was going to be amazing.
I didn't think it was going to be amazing.
I thought I was hoping.
They're funny. They're brilliant.
But that movie doesn't show.
And they've all done way better films.
Yes, Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids is great.
That's one of the best movies.
But I just wasn't a fan of Ghostbusters.
Male or female, it doesn't matter. It was just a great movie.
I heard they cut. There was like a huge, like multi-million-dollar dance sequence that was cut out at the end of that movie.
I heard Sony was going to sue Bill Murray if he didn't do the movie. That's why he did it.
I don't know that.
Because the whole time I was watching it, and I was like, "How the hell did Bill Murray do this movie?"
Well, they got everybody. They had cameras.
Yeah,
of
but
everybody.
Still, I mean, that guy is very like good about quality control.
I know,
like, he's really good about that.
Well, they did that whole dance number, like at the end when he makes all the. Remember when the ghost guy takes over and makes everybody point? That was supposed to be a huge dance number, and they actually cut some of it into the credits, and they cut that whole dance sequence out.
Why?
Because I think it tested horribly. I think they put it in the like the test screens. Be like, why is there this huge dance number right now?
I would have said that about a lot of the parts of the movie.
I'm assuming that's what happened.
Well, what's the
much
you know
like
what,
your
you know
assumptions
what,
about
say,
firemen?
Maybe it was just me in the 80s, but like the summer blockbuster movies were so much better.
Well, it just depends.
I don't know. This summer sucked for movies. I mean, big movies in the summer.
I don't really expect much out of them.
I thought Captain America was amazing, and then everything else has sucked since then.
Yeah.
And now you told me Star Trek sucks, and I'm
Star
really
Trek
bummed.
Was blah.
Wow, really? Boo. Was it Planet Grauman's?
Yeah, I saw it in Grauman's on the IMAX.
See, people are like, dude, these guys are having a real conversation. They're not even talking. Like,
well, I'm just
so my air conditioner went out today. That sucked.
That's boo.
That sucked big time. But other than that, life is good. I cannot complain.
How hot is it in your house? Like 95
degrees?
Dude,
it was
degrees?
89 degrees.
Oh, you have any fans going? Any shit like that?
I have fans going.
When are they going to fix the air?
I called them today. They're like, well, we'll call you tomorrow. I'm like, God damn it.
You going to sleep in that?
I think so.
Go to a hotel.
We'll see. Are you giving me your apartment as an option?
No, absolutely not. No. That was not intended.
I was hoping. I
did not intend that at all.
Well, it looks like our special guest has arrived, Mr. Matthew Hayes. Say hello.
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 Oh, our studio audience loves you. Now, Matt,
he brought nuts.
You know, he brought nuts and a protein bar.
Yeah, no, I totally brought some walnuts, and these are
nice.
To share here.
Some nice accoutrement. So, Matt,
feel
you
free
were
to have
a guest.
Some of my nuts.
You know, Eddie.
What? What?
There's a
what?
Joke in there somewhere. Matt was a guest on our show. Not at the new station, but at the old digs.
Was I? I'm trying to remember. You look kind of. He looked kind of familiar.
Yeah.
I?
Yeah. Way back in the day, in downtown LA.
The old digs.
Matt came to play.
The old digs.
And it was time to bring him back. You know why, Eddie?
Is this a new album, or is it the same?
You know what? Don't throw him under the bus. He just got it.
No, I want. I'm trying to remember if.
It's his latest record.
The latest one.
That's how you have to spin it, Eddie.
I haven't recorded a comedy CD since 2008. Give me a break.
That's definitely newer than that.
Yeah, see? It's 2013. So, yes.
He's got you there.
Stuff is starting to ring a bell now.
Why are you waiting so long to record a comedy CD?
I don't know.
That's a whole other episode. We'll talk about that another time, Eddie. I'll make you a guest, and we'll talk about just that. But, no, Matt is seriously one of the most talented musicians.
I remember him now.
One of my favorite people.
I remember now.
And he's playing Lollapalooza tomorrow.
Really?
Well, day after tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah.
You shouldn't be here if you were playing there tomorrow.
Yeah, I should have been here tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, you should not be here.
Well, who are you playing with tomorrow, after tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm playing with an R&B singer named Samo.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Samo's playing Lollapalooza. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be rad.
It's really cool. I've actually personally never even been to the festival itself, so I'm pretty excited.
Where is Lollapalooza?
Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
It used to be every city, but that's where it started.
Gotcha.
Right? Isn't that where it started?
That sounds familiar, but I'm no expert.
And Perry Farrell is one of the people that started Lollapalooza from Jane's Addiction.
Really?
And I just read a great article how he said he's really kind of irritated that there's so many electronic DJs that, you know, that he has to book because he just loves rock and roll and he loves rock bands. So you're on the good side of the fence, according to Perry Farrell, because you're playing real music and doing that. But, I mean, all music is music, and, you know, it's all connected on some level. But, you know,
maybe.
It's cool. It's going to be hot in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
What time are you playing? What stage?
You know, good question. I don't recall the time, actually, but I believe it's the BMI stage.
Okay.
And that's the day after tomorrow. So Thursday, BMI stage with Samo.
That'll be awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a festival I've always wanted to go to, and I've never been. It's amazing. So kudos, Matt.
Thanks.
And you've been on a spiritual journey to find inner peace, through the grapevine?
It's not just inner peace, man. It's just like the whole freaking shebang, you know? Like, I actually, I went through a divorce earlier this year.
Right.
And I've also...
Yeah, now I remember you. Now I do remember you now. I remember this.
You got to get to the intense stuff.
I remember this. Yeah. This is ringing a bell.
And I've also had, like, quite a few chronic physical issues over the last 4 years. One being this wrist issue, and then this strange, like, eustachian tube dysfunction issue. So
what's that?
So the eustachian tubes are the tubes that connect the nasal cavity to the eardrum. So they balance pressure in your ears.
Gotcha.
Right. So my eustachian tubes about 4 years ago just suddenly closed up.
Oh, really?
Haven't been able to completely pop them.
So it's like your ears are clawed, like an altitude thing?
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
And it's like that all the time.
Oh, that blows.
I know, it's crazy. And he also has ringing in the ears, right?
Well, that developed as a result of that.
Like tinnitus?
Right. And it's gotten better as this condition has gotten better, but it's still just hasn't been solved. And I've been kind of doctoring myself because the doctors haven't really had like
less swallowing,
clear answers to it, and the things that I've tried haven't completely worked.
God,
but anyway,
sucks.
The combination of all these things.
way to be compassionate.
Well, I just know what it's like when you get off an airplane. You're like, pop.
Yeah,
yeah, but you don't look at it and be like, God, that sucks.
It does suck. Does that suck?
It does suck. It does suck. Well, it does suck. Yeah.
All right, we're all in agreement.
But I mean, it's just like, oh man.
Well, I just know that's one of the most annoying feelings.
It is.
Right.
When he told me.
And to live with that.
And it's been like, what, 2 years?
4 years.
4 years.
Fuck.
God. Eddie, you are terrible.
How am I terrible? That sucks. I feel like I feel for you with that. That's, oh my God, that would drive me insane.
It's gnarly. It's totally gnarly.
Do you get used to it, I guess, a little bit?
No.
Or not at all? It's just like you're constantly underwater. Water.
Yeah.
Does it make a difference if you wake up or if you shower or anything like that?
No, there's not really there's nothing specific.
And there's
that
no
makes a
reason they gave you why something like that would happen.
There's a lot of different reasons why it could, but the reasons what that they are familiar with and that they know how to kind of manage,
right.
I don't have, unfortunately.
What, do you think trigger it or it just happened?
They don't. Nobody knows.
You just woke up and they were clogged, or
In the right ear. Actually, it was during a gig that I noticed it start to do that, and I thought it was like. Just like, you know, kind of.
Well, sometimes air pressure changes in the room when you're.
Yeah, either that or I thought maybe it had to do with volume. You know, like yeah. Oh, the music was loud and something happened, but it stuck. And then, like 6 months to a year later, it started coming up in the left ear.
Oh my god!
And then the doctors
were
like,
crazy.
"Oh, it could be wax in your ear." But then they clean out my ears, and there's like, "There's no wax in your ear, so it's not that. It's not your ears." And I went to another. I went to an ENT, and he said, "It's not your ears. It's your eustachian tube."
Oh my god!
And I ended up having one operation on my nose,
and that didn't do it.
Which didn't solve it. It helped with certain other sinus type issues, but it didn't get rid of this condition.
Oh, how does that affect your music?
Well, there was a time where it was bad enough that I had difficulty hearing certain high frequencies. So I was always compensating in what I was hearing, like needing to turn up high frequencies. And also because of the tinnitus, you know, like just in having conversations with people, it was just really distracting.
Eddie.
I'm just like, yeah. This just sucks, though.
Matt, on behalf of Eddie, I apologize.
But no, I mean, it's one thing to deal with like an injury to a limb or something, when you have to deal with one of your senses, that's
totally,
the worst.
Totally
it's like totally a handicap that no one can see
yeah.
what you're dealing with. And like, so like, it's obviously like you got a leg issue and you're limp and you're like, oh, you know, you get sympathy, whatever.
Yeah.
And here I am. It's just like this, I'm suffering inside my head and no one can see it. No one
yeah.
can sense it. And it's just like, only I know that I'm uncomfortable and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So
hearing and sight, don't mess with those.
I know,
those are
totally,
the worst.
Totally. Anything that you have to deal
the
with
senses,
physical.
Any of the
yeah,
senses are just,
I agree, man. Yeah. Well, can you hear this?
Yeah, I can hear that well.
I thought a little hearing test.
Sounds muffled that way.
How about this? You can hear that one?
No, I couldn't hear that one. A little too low.
Man.
And you know what's crazy, too? It's like, he seriously is one of... I mean, I don't throw these words.
No, I remember him on last time.
Yes.
It's like
he is
outstanding.
I think... I'm going to give you some major props. He is my favorite guitarist, and I think he is the best guitarist, and he's an incredible musician. And to have him go through these things, to me, I'm like, this is crazy.
That
like,
sucks.
First, you were talking about you had tendonitis.
Well, yes. That started actually around the same time, interestingly enough. And I just got an MRI on it and found out I don't have tendonitis. I have cysts in my wrist.
That's... What are you, Dr. Seuss over here?
Right? I just found that out. Like,
well, how do you cure that? Cysts in the wrist.
Yeah.
Put some bliss.
Cut them out.
I probably most likely I'll have to have them surgically removed.
Wow, man.
Yeah. I also today. So I got. I decided since that gave me an answer, right? The wrist.
Right.
I was like, let me get an MRI. No doctor ever told me to get an MRI on my fucking head.
Right.
Like on my eustachian tube.
Yeah.
I've gotten a CAT scan that shows certain things, but apparently MRIs show the deeper soft tissue stuff. So I got an MRI, and today I found out. I have cysts in my sinuses, too.
That's probably what's going
and
on.
Maybe not. You know, I don't know, but I'm...
No, that's... I mean, I'm no doctor
or
fireman.
You love making assumptions about everything.
But
I'm
guess I'm a real cysty guy.
Yeah, that... Hey, this guy!
Man.
Eddie, dude, if I had, like, crazy bad news, you are not the guy I want to
talk
to.
No, I'm
going to
tell you straight up how I feel about it. Oh,
no, I feel you.
Brutal.
I feel you. And that is crazy.
That is brutal.
So, you know, but the thing is, like, I've been on this journey, like, spiritually, not only because of the things that I've been through, but, like, to attempt to heal myself. Like, I've been attempting to heal myself through psychological changes, you know, because the doctors weren't able to give me these answers.
Through meditation
and
stuff like that?
Through all kinds of things. I mean, through meditation and life changes, you know, I was in a relationship where I was in a state of limbo for a long time about, you know...
What was going to happen.
About what was going to happen, what I wanted, what was right for me, who I am. So, you know, ultimately building up the courage and having the realization that... You know, I was not in a situation that was nurturing my true self, and pulling myself out of that, it was like this whole flood of just change, you know, of my truth pouring in, and a lot of discoveries, And through that process, I found that just my general well-being, including physically, was getting better. But it seemed to reach some limit.
Do you think I got a crazy question for you that I was just thinking? Mm-hmm. Like, Matt is seriously one of the most talented, like I said, guitarists. He can play things that most people. Matt pushed that. I pushed that. But seriously, do you think that because you spent so much time with music, that other parts of your life have been neglected?
Absolutely.
Like, you think that's a big part of... Because, like, 100%. Literally, you can do things... When I hear him play, I'm like, this guy has been playing for hours and hours and hours for years and years and years, whereas you can hear when somebody's just been playing for years. You know, like, I know how much time you've dedicated to that. So, it's interesting. Mm. How do you... I guess I should ask, how do you find the balance now?
The answer is that now the balance is I'm going to the other extreme, where I'm trying to disidentify myself with that instrument. Hmm. And I'm purposefully just trying to live and explore my being in this world and who I am with the world, with people. It's just a funny thing. Like, I had a meeting about a year ago when my wife and I had first split. And I had a meeting with a buddy of mine who teaches Kundalini Yoga, and he said, well, you're 33 years old. That's the third 11-year life cycle. That's the one where you discover, like, who you are with the world. And so there's going to be a lot of big changes. And
he's long overdue for that.
I'm trying to think of 33.
Yeah. So check this out. So yeah, yeah. The crazy thing that happened after that, like, some months later, I was on tour with Selmo. And we had this some kind of meeting at like a baseball stadium. I can't remember if it was a baseball or football stadium. Anyway, they made us some jerseys for the local team, and we had our name put on, and we chose a number. And I said, I'm gonna have 33. So I had 33 put on that, and you know, around that time was when my marriage officially ended. And then, you know, like a few weeks ago, I decided, okay, I'm going to go on this. I cleared my schedule for the month. I'm like, I'm going to go on a solo journey through all the national parks in California.
Nice.
Like, I'm a California native, and I had never seen, I've seen a lot of the world on tours, but I've never seen
all the beautiful things
in my own state. So I'm like, I got to do this. I got to stop everything. And I actually had this shroom trip. Where while I was on shrooms, like, I literally was talking to myself and saying, stop, stop, stop. Like literally stop everything. Cut through all the bullshit. It's time to stop. You've just been going too hard, too long. And so I stopped everything, went on this trip, and actually the night before I left, I just had this intuition to, like, get rid of stuff. I started having these just awarenesses.
Like a claustrophobic.
Like, yeah, like all the stuff that I have that I don't need. All of a sudden, I was just, like, connecting more to, like, how physical things are just this weight. Like, I was literally feeling them as a weight on me, and I wanted to get rid of it all, rid of it all, rid of it all. And I started going through old clothes, and I found this shirt. It's, like, the one shirt I've kept since I was a kid. And I was like, it was my first baseball jersey from Little League. And I was like, I'm going to throw this away. I pick it up, and the number on the back is 33.
Oh, my God. I got chills.
And woo! I was like, there's no way I can throw this out.
That's crazy.
I started looking up the number 33 in numerology, and it's like a very – within, like, I don't know, the within spirituality and numerology and astrology, I guess, like, there's a very deep meaning to 33. Like, there's three numbers that are considered, like, the most – you know, important numbers, and 33 is, like, at the top, and it's, like, the age that Jesus died, and there's, like, all these connections through history.
What's the one on the Heineken bottle?
I don't know.
Is it 33 or 55?
Good segue, Eddie.
No, I'm saying there's a number.
Are you listening?
We were talking about numerology. Oh, my God. I'll just sit back and look at it. I know, I was the
well, serious... Yeah, look it up. All right, keep going. I'm listening. Yeah. Eddie's listening, too. I know he is.
Anyway, so I end up going on this journey, and I just hop in my car, and, you know, I started off at this commune out in Yucca Valley, stayed there for, like, 4 days, like, sleeping in the desert, and then I went to Joshua Tree for a few days, and I drove up the coast.
That's a spiritual place just by itself.
Right, right. Yeah, I drove up the coast, went to, like, Muir Woods, And I went to up to all the way up to Big Sur, and then around to Yosemite, and then I did Sequoias and Kings Canyon.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Some of those I've been to, and some of them I'm still waiting for the right opportunity. Mm-hmm. But Big Sur is one of my favorite places in the country, mm-hmm. not just California. That's amazing. Did you see any wildlife?
I did. Actually, got pretty close to a black bear when I was on a solo hike while the sun was going down. I pretty much shit my pants like at that moment. I was like, okay, I'm completely alone out here in the woods. Yeah.
And you're like, maybe I shouldn't get this close.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I'm going to start walking backwards and hide in this cabin for a little bit.
Well, you know what? Let's start with playing something from your CD. Do you want to play something live or do you want to play something from your CD?
Let's play something from
your CD. Yeah, you choose a song.
What track?
Because I love the name, Generation Maze.
I got to try to load this thing
up. You kind of went on your own little Generation Maze with this trip. What are you going to play?
Number track, nine. Let's do nine.
Let's play nine.
Right, let me see if I can. Let's see.
City of Falling Dreams.
Let me see if I can play it.
It's up there.
I don't know.
Go ahead. Push play.
It's not loaded in.
Ready to go. Eddie, you're just killing me here.
You're killing me because you handed me the CD right before we went on air.
It's all right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I think.
City of Falling Dreams.
A 1, 2, 3.
Oh,
Yeah. Nice. I hear a ton. Hello.
We have a new guest.
You're the first guest that hit the doorbell twice.
It's Rolling Rock has 33 on the bottle.
Oh, Rolling
no one, no
Rock.
One knows. No one knows why.
It's where is it on the bottle?
It's just on the side of the bottle. It says 33.
Yeah, that's right. I have seen that. That's crazy. Matt, that's a very heavily influenced Jeff Buckley song.
Do you think so?
Totally.
Okay.
Totes.
Jeff Buck is one of my favorite artists. Grace was one of my favorite artists.
I do dig Jeff.
Dude, so, man, like, tell me what you were going for with that song at the time. I know it's you recorded it a couple years ago.
Well, the essence, I mean, lyrically, the song is basically about...
Sorry, y'all, he's eating some of his nuts.
Yeah, eating walnuts.
No, it sounds good.
He's eating his nuts.
The song is basically about, you know, all the struggles that artists of various kinds go through coming to L.A. and the expectations that people have coming to L.A. and, like, what they're going to go for. And sort of, like, what I've seen... I mean, as a native, my perspective is a little bit different personally, but... Right. I've have a lot of friends who've moved here from all over the world, and I see kind of what they go through over the course of 1 year, 2 years,
it's
5 years,
to
10
see
years.
That. I've seen a lot of people change coming to LA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you see, like, sometimes it's spiritual beliefs, sometimes it's just social backgrounds, economic, like, little things you just start noticing that change when somebody comes here to become part of the environment.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because you grew up in... And you grew up, like, in the heart of L.A. I grew up in Arcadia, which was, like, a little bit of ways.
Yeah.
But you were, like, right in the heart of L.A.
I mean, it depends on what you consider the heart of L.A. I grew up in North Hollywood.
That's pretty much the heart of L.A.
It's in the valley.
One of the hearts.
It's
not quite valley. It's, like, dancing on the edge.
Yeah.
When you're, like, a five-minute drive from Universal Studios, you're pretty much in the heart of L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, 10-15.
Yeah.
It's L.A. It's 20 minutes. Everywhere's 20 minutes.
But, you know, the song is called City of Falling Dreams. It's, like, everybody comes here with these hopes and expectations, and I see so many people after, like, 2 years, 3 years, they're, like, totally bummed out. They're, like, oh, I didn't completely do what I wanted to do, and it's, like, way harder than I thought, and I'm not, like, succeeding, and I'm still playing the same clubs I've been playing.
That's right? Weird. Like, I came here in 97 when I came early. But I never, like, thought I would make it in 3 years. Like, I got to year three, I was, like, I wasn't disappointed. I was still, like, I'm doing what I want to do where I want to do it. I didn't have that...
Most people come and they think in a year.
That's insane to me. I can't believe that mentality.
But sometimes it happens. I mean, you hear stories like...
Well, stuff does happen, but also, like, I have friends who, like, have come to this city and gotten some really great stuff going really quick, and then they, like, got all cozy, and then that gig ended, like, that tour ended, and then another year or two goes by, and they're kind of struggling.
You don't know how to sustain yourself.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's
a balance. It's a constant juggling.
Absolutely, and you got to kind of learn how to consistently be relevant and survive in this city as a freelance artist of any kind.
You know what I've discovered about LA that I love is that depending on your age, you can get different... L.A. is kind of like the giving tree. Because depending on your age and where you are in your own life, it'll give you exactly what you want. So if you are way into going out to bars and clubs, and you're in your 20s in this city, you can do that and get whatever you want out of that scene. If you want to check out museum openings or galas or whatever, and you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever, or you want to see summer concerts, films, whatever it is... You can get it, but it's interesting that it all happens all the time, and whatever you want, and depending on your age.
It just wasn't so damn expensive to live here.
Yeah, but
that's
the
problem.
It's not New York, though. I mean, New York is crazy.
It's getting there.
You know what?
It's not New York.
It's not even close to
New York. It's not New York.
It's not even San Francisco, man.
It's still hard to live here.
It's expensive. It's
expensive.
It's way more expensive to live here than any other city outside of San Francisco, New York. But, but it's really, like, it's taken me 30 years of living in L.A., like, to really kind of say, oh, I get it now. Like, it depends on what you want out of this city. It'll give it to you if you focus time and energy and where you are also. Because there are a lot of things that I did 15 years ago in this city that I have no desire to do. You know, but there are things that I never thought I would find interesting. Like, parks in LA are amazing if you find certain parks.
Yeah.
I love parks. I mean, they're amazing. But in my 20s, it wasn't like, let's go to the park. That wasn't the thing. You know, it's like, let's go out. Let's go to some concert. Let's go to a jam session, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, and especially being a native, you see so many people, you're kind of an observer coming through with hopes and expectations. Eddie, you're one of those people. We're watching you. We're watching you, buddy.
I'm Los Angelino now.
Yeah, you are.
I've lived half my life here. Almost half my life here.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're one of us now.
Yeah, I'm one of you guys.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so let's talk more about this spiritual journey. Are you at peace now? Are you still finding closure in a lot of ways?
I've found a lot of things. I mean, I released a lot of sadness, a lot of anger. You know,
Was it Eddie's fault?
It was definitely mostly. Eddie's, yeah.
Mostly.
You know, when you've been in a state of limbo, like, you know, they say in psychology, like when you're indecisive, like that's a really like rough place to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you can just choose one direction or another, even if it's the wrong direction, it's like easier to handle. You can accept that as, oh, that was the wrong decision, wrong direction. But I was in a state of like limbo. And so that there was a lot of like underlying anxiety that came with that. So I'm kind of like flushing out like this really long drawn out state of underlying anxiety and depression. And that's not just being in limbo, but it's also because of the physical ailments.
Right.
You know, and like not having a solution, right? So it's these things like I've been fighting and trying to get answers and solve it. And I can't, yeah, exactly.
But it's, you know what? It's all connected. Like everything you're going through emotionally, spiritually, and physically, it's all connected. It's just, it's all a part of the same puzzle. It's like one affects the other. So it's crazy to see that you're coming into this new phase. Like I feel like your ailments may be something of the past as you keep continuing down this road, because you're like in the rabbit hole right now,
right?
Which is crazy.
Exactly. Well, and these physical ailments, keep in mind, like these two that I'm specifically dealing with started around the same time, and they were halfway through with my relationship, and they were at a specific time where I was putting a lot of pressure on my career,
right?
And like super like hardcore career investment, like just I remember just like recording stuff and just being up all night and just, you know, turning really loud and just kind of going like mad scientist insane about it.
Yep.
And that was around the time where it all happened, you know. So I'm just kind of like feeling like the universe is saying you have to change your whole idea of how you're living your life.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about my career and guitar. No. It's about being an artist, and being an artist is about like creatively living your life and finding like a true like philosophical spiritual purpose that is so much deeper than everything else. You know, it's such a, we all have this very unique purpose, and diving into that and finding happiness and peace and full expression of our full spectrum of self, like
right.
That is what I'm on the journey to really explore, is like, who am I without having to answer to anyone else in my life?
This is, you know what's amazing about this interview right now? I'm gonna just speak something
out. How relaxed you look.
Well, I am very relaxed.
Very relaxed.
Matt came in 2 years ago, and you were in a completely different place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this guy has played with Beyonce Knowles' sister, Solange. He has played with some of the biggest names in music. You have toured and played with some of your heroes. You played in some of the biggest venues and all this stuff. And to hear you go through and be this vulnerable and honest, it's like, it's empowering to other artists to like show all those colors. Like, most people from the outside looking at your life would be like, man, you got everything that you want. And it's like, art is not just about accomplishment in the career. It's like about how you feel day to day. You know what I mean? Like for me as an artist, I have found what I've learned in the last 13 years. It's like you're like playing Legend of Zelda. You know the game Legend of Zelda, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like constantly picking up tricks or like
potions.
Things, potions,
weapons.
To that you don't even know you're ready to use yet, and you don't know when you're going to use it.
Right.
And then the time comes that you end up learning to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you've learned all these potions and tricks, and you've just like, you've been like, I've been just accumulating all of this stuff, and I have not been out there to just kind of like explore all the places that I can use them. And you're doing that now, and it's, that's powerful stuff, man.
Well, on that note, it's like, exactly, it's like, like when I was 10, I got that shirt that's with a 33 on it. Totally. Why? And why did it? Why is that like the only piece of clothing I've held on to for the last for 20 years? And then 20 years later, I find out there's meaning to this, and that is continually. Happen like over and over again lately, and going on these journeys, like I didn't go with a plan or time frame. I was just like, the second I feel I need to go here, I'm gonna go there.
Right.
If all of a sudden at the drop of the hat I gotta leave somewhere, I am leaving, even if I don't know why in that moment. I'm just practicing trusting my small voice within,
yeah,
and interpreting that small voice as a huge motherfucking voice. Like, that small voice is not small.
You're trusting yourself.
Yeah, it completely. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I don't have to know why yet.
Yep.
Trusting that I will know tomorrow or 5 years from now. You know, even having these pains, like, the only way I can cope with this discomfort and pain is, like, someday I'm going to know why I had this, and it's going to be meaningful, and I'm going to be glad in some way. Like, that's the only way I can cope with that.
That's crazy. Well, I want to have you play something. What are you going to play us? Not that you want to. He's like, I want, right? To just completely like, distance myself from this instrument. I'm like, well, why don't you play
I'm
us?
I'm here to let my guitar on fire.
What are you going to play us?
This is a song I wrote
just turn actually,
a long time ago. Actually, yeah, I'll play this.
What's the name of it?
It's called Waiting for Your Love.
Perfect. To stop, man. I was like, just keep on playing. Just keep on playing. Play the second movement.
I have longer versions, but you know, I don't.
Oh, what
it's
is,
radio.
What inspired
that? The radio.
The radio edit. Yeah.
You know, I believe it or not, this song I wrote for my wife before around the time we met. She was living in Germany, and we had only met once on the airplane. And we started communicating.
Was she German?
Yeah. So a song called...
She's been a guest. She was... what was the movie that she did?
Chew.
Chew.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now I see.
Yeah, and you know, like it's a thing where it's kind of like I still love playing that song because I enjoy the song, people respond to it, and it's also something that, you know, it at the time, you know, it was like it was a tribute to her and kind of my feelings for her, but it's taken on different meaning for me as time has gone on, and right. Now it's like it takes on a waiting for something else, a different kind of love or a self love even. And that's actually another poignant aspect of this journey that I've discovered is loving the self. Like, yeah. in the process of finding our personal truth, it's really about, like, loving our entirety. Like, all the shit that maybe a lot of other people don't fucking like. Right. And maybe, you know, your partner doesn't like about you or, you know, your parents don't like about you. But it's just, like, getting to love every unique little thing about ourselves that is authentic.
Eddie tends to love himself a little too much.
All the time.
Anytime. But no, you're right.
And
you're totally right.
Distinguishing that, of course, from like any kind of arrogance or anything, or something that might be inauthentic or unhealthy. But we know when we can really, like, truly, like, recognize.
You're honoring the self.
Honoring, yes.
That's so
absolutely.
It. It's so it.
Honoring the small voice, honoring, you know, whatever it is. And a lot of that, you know, on a spiritual plane is like, I've studied a lot of different religions and dived into different things and philosophies and books to kind of learn. And there's a lot of things that I've had to say, you know what? There are some things about me that don't jive with even like the gurus
right.
that I've studied and admire. I'm like, this about me, they wouldn't dig. But you know what? I'm going to love that about me.
Right.
Like, I just have to reach that point where it's my personal connection with the universe, with God.
It's like acceptance, you know, and then honoring thyself. It's like those mm-hmm. two things. There's a fine line between both of them too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely, man. That's powerful stuff. Matt, you are on a crazy journey, man. That was a beautiful song.
Thanks, dude.
So did you take your guitar with you when you went on these travels, or you were like, no?
You know what? My whole thing was like, if I'm meant to play guitar on this journey, a guitar will show up. Hmm. And there was one day where it did.
Where?
At the commune that I stayed at.
Huh.
Yeah, there was one day, and when I arrived there, because like the guys who were there, they know I've been there a few times before, and they know I play, and they're like, hey, did you bring your guitar? And I was like, nope. I said, if it's meant to be, I'll show up. One will show up. And like 2 or 3 days later, they had some people come over, and one guy brought a guitar and was singing some tunes and playing, and I played some tunes, and it was great. You know?
You were jamming some hippie, and the guy was like, this guy's really good. You probably changed. He probably is like still talking about the legend that Matt Hayes came to here. He was my Jesus. You were his Jesus moment, Matt. Seriously. Well, dude, I want you to I'm gonna have you play one more song.
Is it cool if I do a cover?
Totally. Cool? You can do. Listen, I'm just happy to see you, okay. And I'm happy that you're here and you're sharing your music and you're.
Yeah.
Like, Matt told me, he texted me, he's like, you know, I don't want this all to be about music. I'm like, dude, neither do we. We want it to be about you as an artist. And you know what? I've seen this cat. First time I met him, he was playing with a Brazilian jazz outfit. You remember that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As an original, it was all original stuff, but he was obsessed with Brazilian jazz music. Then I saw him do his band, and I saw that come together in acoustic shows, solo shows, then bringing one by one the members of the whole band. And now he's going through this whole other development stage, playing with other people and playing with artists like Somo and other people as well. And now it's like, it's great to see you just like exploring all the different sides of you.
Well, and the fact, you know, kudos. I'm putting that a lot of the music away for now, and I know it'll come around. Like, I just need that space to like focus on my spirit, and then something completely transformative will eventually, you know, transpire. And
right.
It will be like probably way cooler than anything else I've done before. You know, just I don't know how long it'll take, but I'll get there.
Well, play us out. What are you gonna play us?
Let's do some Stand By Me. You can sing along with me too if you want.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you have your moment, man.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light to see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just sit along as you stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me. Whoa, 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 stand by me. Oh, stand now, stand by me. Whoa, whoa, stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, and the mountains should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't even shed a tear. Just so long as you stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me. Whoa, 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 stand by me. Oh, stand now, stand by me. Whoa, whoa, stand by me.
Find you if they want to find your music.
MattHazeMusic.com. That's MattHaze music.com.
Dude, on behalf of Matt Hayes, Eddie, myself, we'll see you guys next week. That was awesome.
Bye.